The international break is upon us, which means it's the perfect time to take stock of what's been a thrilling Premier League season so far. Welcome back to The Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and with me in studio today is England football analyst, Nigel Naicker.
Great to be here, Desh. Let's dive in.
Nigel, let's start at the top. Liverpool, under the guidance of Arne Slot, have opened up a 5-point gap at the top of the log.
Yeah, I think we sing his praises a lot. He started hit the ground running with in the league and top of the table in the Champions League as well. Really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's barely put a foot wrong all season. Looking at last year's Liverpool outfit, where has the squad actually improved?
I think in the midfield, I think Gravenberch has been excellent. And they're so clinical on the counter. I think they don't need many chances to score. They can hurt teams. And yeah, just really gelling so quickly into his tenure.
You know, you made a good point there about the counter-attack, because against Aston Villa at Anfield, they were absolutely ruthless. I mean, both those goals came from a blitz counter-attack.
Yeah, I think when you get Salah on his heels running at you, it's really difficult to stop. And then combine that with his ruthlessness, you're at Anfield, they just turn teams around, 1-2 chances, quick and easy.
Yeah, you know, Salah does seem to be the main man season in, season out. I believe his contract is rumoured to be coming to an end. I think he's into the final 12 months or 18 months. Right now, do you keep him or do you sell him?
You break the bank for Mo Salah. I think whatever you have, you go and offer him and probably even double that on top. I think he's been one of the most consistent players in the league in the past 5-6 years. And not just that, the sheer volume of goals and consistency every week in, week out, is just impressive.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more over there. Let's look at the defensive stats. They've conceded just 6 goals across their 11 Premier League games. I mean, that's simply astonishing.
Yeah, I think it is, especially with the way that they play. They tend to have a bit more open games, invite teams onto them so that they can have space to attack. And yeah, that brings trouble. And then to concede just 6, 9 games in, 10 games in, it's really impressive.
Yeah, and you know, to add further like impetus to that defense, I believe Alisson has been injured for the recent part of the season, and you know, you've had Kelleher and I think even the third choice keeper stepping up in the EFL trophies and cups and stuff. I mean, it looks like everybody is taking their chances.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to have when you're challenging on all fronts, players stepping up. Look, Alisson is one of the best keepers in the league. Any team would miss him. And yeah, Kelleher has shown that he can step up into his number one position and deliver in that position.
Yeah. With the January transfer window on the horizon, we have to look at Liverpool's defensive unit now. I believe Van Dijk, alongside Trent, are up for sale. That's what the rumours are saying. That's what I've been hearing. Right now, if you're FSG, what do you do with those 2 assets?
Look, I think I would try and keep them both world-class players. Can you cash in on one of them and maybe try and use that to fund the rest of your squad? I think Trent is destined for Madrid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The quality that he exudes, he's destined to play at the Bernabeu. Verge, maybe he's a bit old, so you could try and cash in on him and try and get in a new centre-back. But at the same time, they're 2 world beaters, so I would want to keep them in my team.
Yeah, in keeping with Trent Alexander-Arnold, now we know Danny Carvajal has done his season with his ACL, if I'm not mistaken. Surely the signs are pointing straight at Trent.
Yeah, I think no doubt. Trent is in every mold in a Galactico, in my opinion. He has all the qualities. He's been one of their best players in the league. I think only second to maybe Kevin De Bruyne in the past 3-4 seasons in terms of output. And that's from right back. So yeah, it really is a top player. And I think the foot is amazing for him at the Bernabeu.
Yeah, we've spent some time unpacking the Liverpool attack and defence. Let's shed some light on this midfield now. Is the signing of Gravenberch in the past, McAllister in the past, Szoboszlai in the past, showing dividends right now?
Yeah, I think it has. I think Arne Slot has also got a lot of out of them. Look, they've had some time to acclimatize to the league. But when you look at the Liverpools of old, they had a lot of steel in their midfield. You look at Firmino, you look at Wijnaldum, James Milner, Jordan Henderson. So current crop looks a bit light, but they look like they're still playing in a really good attacking manner.
Yeah. Finally, is Arne Slot bringing the Premier League title to Merseyside?
Look, there's signs that it points that way. 8-point gap, 9-point gap so early on. Can you catch them? They don't look catchable, honestly, in my opinion. Just because of the sheer amount of goals that they have in them, they can literally blow teams off the park. The one saving grace for the chasing pack is that it is early in the league. We've seen Manchester City claw back an 8-point lead in the past before. So can Liverpool keep their foot on the pedal?
Well, of course, it is that never-say-die attitude that is part of the Premier League package. The defending champions, Man City, are experiencing a rare dip in form. I know even weeks ago, Pep Guardiola even hinted that it might be time for a new champion.
Yeah, look, they've done it 4 times in a row. To do it 5 is unprecedented. They might be a bit tired. They are missing their key players in Rodri and De Bruyne at the moment. This is the time for a challenger to come in now and dethrone them.
Yeah. Where has it gone wrong for Man City? Because, you know, under Pep, I think they've claimed 6 of the last 7 titles on offer.
Yeah, look, I don't think it has gone wrong. I think it's just all due down to the competitiveness of the league. They've managed to close the gap, these so-called smaller teams. There's probably maybe 2 or 3 gimmies in the Premier League this season, and that too is at a stretch. I mean, we saw Ipswich win at Spurs this past week. So there's potential banana skins all over this league, and it's just down to how the league has improved in quality.
Do you think Man City need to improve their quality? Because with the January transfer window on the brink, surely they are looking at beefing up the midfield, possibly even the defence.
Yeah, I think no doubt, especially when you're missing someone of Rodri's calibre. You've seen glaringly how they do without him and with him in the past couple of seasons. He's a big miss. So I think there's talks of probably trying to get Zubimendi in January. But yeah, they really do need some extra steel in that midfield to complement the Rodri loss.
Yeah, you know, in keeping with that Ballon d'Or winning Man City midfielder, how much of an impact does he actually have on the City team? Because I know the stats you can pull up and say with him, without him. I know the numbers speak for themselves. It's been incredible. But, you know, when I look at Rodri and that player, I think back to that massive game against Arsenal. I think it was a season or two ago where he came in clutch and he scored, I think it was 30-yard side foot and kind of swung the tie in the favour of Guardiola.
Yeah, look, he has that in his locker. I think he's not only such a solid number 6 that keeps things ticking at the back, connects the midfield and the defence together, but he comes in clutch, like you mentioned, with brilliant match-winning goals, the Champions League-winning goal against Inter. Look, Rodri is a huge miss, and yeah, I think you can see it right now. City, when last have they lost 4 in a row?
Well, you know, if one team does have that staying power and the ability to almost chase right up until May and then finish top of the log, it is Man City. I have to ask you, do you think that's going to happen this season?
Yeah, no doubt. I think they notoriously slow starters, and once that train starts getting into motion, it's really difficult to stop. They probably go on to win 15 of the next 20 games on the trot.
Yeah. The London-based Chelsea and Arsenal complete the top 4. Now, sticking with the blue half, are Chelsea experiencing that new manager bounce under Enzo Maresca?
It could be. It looks like. They're looking like a very entertaining team to watch. But it had to click for me at some stage. I think they've bought so many quality players and the squad is stacked in terms of proper personnel. So I think it was only a matter of time till it did click. And yeah, look, Maresca is getting the best out of them.
Yeah. Is he going to be able to pull off the Premier League, the EFL? Is he going to compete in all fronts?
That's going to be difficult for me. I think I watched them closely at this past weekend against Arsenal, and I felt that the depth to come on off the bench might be the Achilles heel. Going to compete on all four fronts is going to take a lot. So, yeah, look, they've got to choose their targets well. And, yeah,
I want to play devil's advocate on that, because how can a squad, a club like Chelsea, have almost no depth? Or you're saying the Achilles heel is actually their bench, because that's a club that is literally handing out contracts to almost anybody who asks for it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the type of players that they brought on against Arsenal, especially, was Mudrik, was Enzo, and it was Felix.
100 mil. 150, 200 mil.
Yeah, but look, not performing, and I think that's why they find themselves out of this team. You look at the players that have replaced them in Neto, Caicedo, and Lavia in the midfield. And then, was it that one?
Shrewsbury Hall?
Yeah.
It was Caicedo and
Lavia in the midfield.
Yeah, in the midfield.
Yeah, look, I think it's also testament to their spending power. They've spent a lot. So can they get these players to gel now? It's a lot of personnel in that team.
Enzo Fernandez as well, another 100 mil player. You know, but in staying with that Chelsea team now, you know, it was Maresca who would have had the final say-so as to who he wants to put forward as the Premier League squad. And it was some of the players like Raheem Sterling who were shown the door. I believe Ben Chilwell was also ousted from training, literally forced, shown the door. And I think there was another key player who was literally
Axel
said...
Axel Di Sarsi, I think it was.
Possibly, yeah. That said, like, you know, you don't actually have a future at Chelsea. You need to go and look for another club. This is the manager. This is what he said. And he's gone and shown the players that he wants to work with what the path looks like.
Yeah, look, I think every manager needs to have that streak of ruthlessness in them. If you know that you are the player is surplus to requirements, let them know. Let them find an alternative club and a pathway for them. And yeah, get on with what you want, what you have in the squad, and what you think is going to work for you.
Yeah. Has he found the winning combination in Nicholas Jackson and Cole Palmer? Because we've seen for years that all you need is a striker to finish and a midfielder who's willing to give him the ball.
Yeah, look, in Cole Palmer, they've got one of the best 10s in the league. I think goal threat and assists, top player. In Jackson, he's a bit raw, in my opinion, but he's going to get there. He has all the qualities to be a very good striker, runs the channels well. So, in my opinion, once things click for him and, well, it's already clicking for Cole Palmer, once it starts clicking for Jackson and starts finding the back of the net on the regular, Chelsea are going to be a real threat.
Do they need to reinforce the striking department in January?
I think hopefully with Nkunku, they have enough. They need to try and get him back into the team. He's a top player. So yeah, maybe with him hitting some form, and then maybe Madueke and Neto chip in with goals from the wing.
Yeah, got you there. Let's move things over across to Arsenal. Looking at Mikel Arteta, now this could spark debate because obviously you are a Gunner faithful. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard some of the Arsenal faithful saying, and I quote, "Arteta out if he doesn't win anything this season." I unquote. A huge smile on your face. Take it away.
Yeah, look, I think Arsenal fans are very, very emotional, especially the ones on Twitter. Just need to calm down. If you take a step back 3-4 years, we weren't even mentioned in these types of topics or debates. We were, if I'm being very blunt, a laughing stock. We couldn't even get top four. I think Arteta has revitalized the squad. So if you look at it from that type of perspective, and with what Arteta has done with the little resources he has to get the club back challenging right now, look, there's no trophies to show for it. He's got an FA Cup that he won in his first season. Yes, there is going to be pressure now to win something. But if you take a long look at the journey he's come through, I think he's done an excellent job.
Yeah, just judging by the tone in your voice, it almost sounds like you are echoing for him to stay and ensure that his project does see the light of day, because it doesn't look like he's finished.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's we've kind of hit the jackpot in Mikel Arteta in terms of being such a well-rounded coach. I think there's not many out there, and teams have looked to Arteta and looked to how he has built the team and built the club as like a blueprint to rebuild their clubs. So I think he's going to win something. He's all around the corner. He's had some bad luck this season, and yeah, it's still early.
Yeah. Let's leave their current dismal form in the league one side, because, I mean, 5 points from possible 15 on offer doesn't make for good reading, all right? What is the ceiling for Arsenal in the Premier League under Arteta?
They win the league. Not this season, but they're going to be champions. I've seen it. We missed out 2 points last season. We missed out 5 points the season before. There's a clear upward trajectory, in my opinion. You can see it. City are faltering. They're there for the taking, in my opinion, in this season. Look, Liverpool are coming back strong. But at the moment, I think we are set up, well, Arsenal are set up to be challenging for the next 5, maybe even longer, 10 years.
Yeah. Do you think they need to invest in the squad? Or right now, are they competent in every aspect of the pitch?
Look, if there's one position or two positions, I would say it probably would be striker or winger, someone who's got that inevitability about them, you know, where you give them the ball and you know this guy is going to produce a goal or an assist.
You're saying that because Kai Havertz isn't a conventional striker, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And not just Kai, let's just not single him out. I think it's Martinelli. I think we only have one type of player that is undeniably going to find the back of the net and assist every game, and that's Saka. We need to close the gap with City, because they have De Bruyne, they have Haaland, they have Phil Foden, Bernardo Silva, 4 players who could do it. We look at Liverpool, Salah.
In those years that you were saying that they finished second with 5 points and second with 2 points, you had players like Martinelli, Odegaard, and Saka finishing the season with over 10 goals each.
Yeah, look, 10 is good, but the level is higher, especially against City when you're competing against City. I think the squad has been built in a way that at the moment they're just missing a few hard hitters to take them over the line. And you need that, especially against teams like City, against Liverpool, where the team is really good to compete, but just that last bit to get over the line, you need those players.
Yeah. Do you think that Arsenal's scouting network is out there looking for that striker? I mean, just within the Premier League frame, we've got Alexander Isak of Newcastle. If you look at Portugal, I believe Victor Gyökeres has been crying out for club. His goals cannot be ignored. Look at Italy, Victor Osimhen, another centre forward, out and out centre forward, very similar to Isak, but been frozen out of the Napoli squad. I believe his transfer sum is about £110 million. He's got a buy out there. The Arsenal need to just go and cash that check?
Look, ideally, you want them to go when you know that the line is that we're so close to City, we're so close to Liverpool. Just get us over the line in terms of one more or two more players that can turn a game in an instant. So, yeah, look, I'm sure Arteta and the coaching staff know that there's a glaring piece missing to get over the line. So yeah, hopefully they plan and can get someone.
Who do you want to see in that number 9 jersey?
Look, off the players you've mentioned, I really like Isak, a very good player. He reminds me of Thierry Henry, might I say that lanky forward, yeah. So yeah, I think he would be the best fit in my opinion. But look, I think any striker that is finding the back of the net on the regular and joins Arsenal is going to put in like a glove because of the chances we create.
Yeah. And you know, you look at the likes of Dom Solanke moving from Bournemouth to Tottenham, banging in those goals right there. The likes of Ollie Watkins as well, moving to Aston Villa and, you know, just showing what a prolific centre forward he can be. You think Arsenal are going to open that window to somebody?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, look, Kai can score a lot of goals, but is he a goal a game striker? That's the question. And City have that in Haaland and Liverpool have that in Salah. So I think we don't have that and we need to get closer to them.
Okay. My final question to you regarding Arsenal is that does Arteta need to target the lower lying fruit? And by that, I'm talking about the EFL Cup, because if I'm not mistaken, against Preston, you guys fielded about 8 first team players, and no disrespect to Preston, but that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, look, I think in that sense, there's a lot of depth in the Arsenal team. A lot of players that can come in, and you look like the team has not changed much, but that just is all down to the quality in the team. But yeah, to answer your question, no doubt, I think any cup is welcomed. It breeds winning. Mm. You've seen it with City. They like 4-5-time EFL champions under Pep. So it's a winning mentality that you breed in the team. You win that cup, you win. You're a winner. So no doubt, target any cup you can win.
Yeah. All right, so let's look at the Premier League holistically now. And by that, I'm talking about the top half. Incredibly, just a single point separates third-placed Chelsea from ninth-place Aston Villa. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible reading, like you say, Desh. I think it also goes down to my point earlier about the competitiveness of this league. If you're not on it on your day, you are staring down the barrel of defeat. These are big teams. Big teams find it all the time very difficult. Look at Ipswich, like I mentioned, against Spurs. There's no gimme in this Premier League.
Yeah, you know, where does the break come from? Because from third place till, I believe, United down in like 13th or 14th place, the gap is so small that now with Ruben Amorim entering the frame, his project is sizable. But if you're looking at a reasonable points per game, he can literally finish in the top four with like 3 wins under his belt.
Yeah, look, I think just the nature of the league being so tough, you can turn things around with a couple of wins and you in the top half. Can he do it? I think he can. He's been excellent in Portugal and he's inheriting a really good squad. Let's not play it down. Ten Hag has invested more than 600 million in that team. Mm. And if you look at it player for player on paper, it is a top team. So can he come in, hit the ground running and get up the table? No doubt.
Well, United have shown that they can find the backline if they want to. I believe in the first match post the Ten Hag era, they went and scored 5 goals.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a Ten Hag thing, but yeah, they're capable. I mean, like I mentioned, top players. Bruno Fernandes has been one of the best tens in the league for a long time now. Rashford is really clinical on his day. Needs to get back to his purple patch form. He is a confidence player, no doubt. And yeah, look, they've got top players all across the pitch. Højlund needs to get into some striking form as well. And yeah, get the best of Mason Mount as well.
Let's have a small discussion about Marcus Rashford, because early on you mentioned that Arsenal have the player in Saka who can deliver. Liverpool have that in Salah. City have that in Haaland. Surely it's the number 10 of United that is meant to deliver the goals week in, week out.
Yeah, look, I think Rashford has had a tough time of it this past season and a half. But if you go back just a season before that, you realize the type of player he is. He is a confidence player. Once the goals start flowing, he does hit a purple patch. And yeah, I think he needs more of that main man syndrome again. I think Amorim must come there and say, guy, you're my number 10. We're putting all our chips on you every week now, and we need you to come to the party. And he's that good. Once Rashford starts scoring, he will continue.
Where do you think Amorim should focus his attention? Because defensively, they've been shocking. I think that the playing out from the back system hasn't quite worked as the level to which Ten Hag maybe envisaged. I believe Amorim is still going to deploy that 3 at the back system. And you look at the wingbacks, are they capable? Did it work? Did Dallo do a good enough job? Did Luke Shaw do a good enough job? Can they actually play out comfortably from the back, or are they more that marauding, overlapping wingbacks? Or is his attention going to be focused at the front? Because I think United have scored something like 5 league goals just in the season.
Look, in my opinion, I think it's one of the toughest jobs to be stepping into. I think a few years back when Arteta came into Arsenal and the club were in turmoil, this is, in my opinion, I feel 10 times worse. Manchester United have been in turmoil for a long, long time. And they've had really good managers who come in and struggled. Jose Mourinho, Van Gaal, David Moyes. These are seasoned managers. So in my opinion, Amaran has a really tough job on his hands. And I think he can turn it around if the players get on board.
Yeah. Speaking about tough jobs, Ange Postecoglou at Tottenham. Has he turned it around? Were there glimpses? Because right now, they're just above the bottom half.
I can't put my finger on it, on what's wrong at Spurs. I think they show some promise and then they go and lose to Ipswich. That is unacceptable for me as a fan. I don't know how their fans do it. But yeah, look, going back to Ange, top coach. I just feel for him. I think his time might be coming to an end as well. Honestly, especially with the type of form that they find themselves in, it doesn't look to me like the fans are happy either.
Yeah. You know, when I watch Ange ball, it looks like when they get it right, they get it right. And when they get it wrong, they get it horribly wrong. If you look at that game against, I think it was Aston Villa, if I'm not mistaken, the second half, they came out firing. I think Unai Emery was left shell-shocked. The same thing happened to Everton, I think in the opening three games of the season. I think it was a decent scoreline and then it just went one way to Spurs.
Look, they're entertaining on their day, no doubt. We've seen it against Villa, like you mentioned. I think I was watching that game and I fell asleep and I woke up and I see four. And this is what Spurs can do to you on their day. They're really attacking. They have players that can hurt you. It's just about now consistency. And I think that's what Ange needs to bring to them right now.
Yeah. Some of his signings have hit the ground running. You look at Solanke. The defensive lineup has been solid. You know, Van de Ven, Romero playing behind Vicario, or rather in front of Vicario. There is some glimpses to you know, the strong points of this Spurs team. But ultimately, I think Son needs to have a second awakening, really.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially when you're in these difficult moments, you need to turn to your best players. And I think Son needs to start taking more responsibility. I think they've given him the captain's armband, if I'm not mistaken. With that comes more responsibility. We know the type of player he is. He's a top goal scorer. He just needs to come back to the party, take more responsibility.
Yeah. You know, earlier we spoke about how important that player link-up can be. And, you know, who better to compare to than Son and Harry Kane, because those two players on the day literally drag Spurs out of losing positions in almost to the top of the log.
Yeah, two top quality players who knew each other like the back of their hand on the pitch, and look, thrived with each other. So can you get someone in that current Spurs squad to link up with Son now? I think Madison is capable. I think Richarlison is really good as well. So can you get people to dovetail, create another partnership like that, like you mentioned?
Yeah. Let's have a look at the right-hand side of that Spurs attack. Brennan Johnson has been consistently in the headlines for all the right reasons. I think since he's deactivated his Instagram, he's went on an incredible scoring streak.
Yeah, look, hats off to the kid. He's still very young. And to be finding the back of the net with such consistency in a very faltering Spurs team is really, really impressive, especially for his age.
Yeah. The midfield duo of, I think it's Bissouma and Matsar, if I'm not mistaken. What have you made about those two individuals? Because I've seen them on the day and they are quite a package.
Yeah, two very good players. Ives Bissouma is a really good player. And Saar, actually, I think they do lack a bit of steeliness in that midfield. They can be a bit bullied. But yeah, in terms of quality, they're really good players.
Yeah, that kind of wraps up our Premier League Big Six, if you were to say. We're going to focus our attention to the bottom half of the log. And let's start with some relegation favourites. Have you seen enough from the promoted sides, that being Ipswich, Leicester, Southampton, to show that they can actually cut it at the top?
Yeah, I think Ipswich has impressed me the most, not just with their win last week against Spurs, but with the manner of performances and the draws that they've been getting. I think they might just have enough to stay up. I think Southampton is odds on to go down. And Leicester might just surprise us.
Yeah, let's actually keep with Ipswich for now, because what a better time, or like rather, what better time for your first win of the league season to come, because they would have been under pressure to actually bag that victory for the head coach before the international window.
Yeah, no doubt. It just revitalizes the whole club, puts everyone in a better mood, not just the players, the staff, the whole community, the fans. It was a massive win.
Yeah.
To go to Spurs and win at their home, 3 points, that's a bonus 3 points. Like, if you measure, like, teams will measure who they're going to play and where they're going to pick up points. They wouldn't have said that they're going to pick up anything at the at Spurs ground.
Yeah, so Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Yeah,
that's 3 points. That's a bonus 3 points that they picked up, and it's a massive win, like you mentioned, just before the international break.
Yeah, you know, looking at that, the tail end of the log, do you think clubs like Wolves and Crystal Palace have enough in them to change around their fortunes, or is it time to get new managers and?
Yeah, I think both teams have enough in them, in quality in their teams, to turn things around. You've seen it where these both managers have been struggling a bit. But in terms of quality in the team, I think both teams are really good enough to stay up in this Premier League.
All right, Nige. Well, that concludes today's Premier League discussion. It's been a pleasure unpacking England's top flight with you. We'll have to wait and to see how the actual season plans out, and good luck to the teams on the international break.
Great to be here, Desh.
Thanks and cheers.